The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
New ban on junk food adverts before 9 o'clock is being enforced from October next year in Britain. It's tackling childhood obesity. The ban was originally proposed by the Tories, but Labour are picking it up. We want to know what's happening here, so we decided to ring Donal O'Shea, who's the HSE lead for obesity. Donal, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
I have a vague recollection that we did something similar here before, did we?
We have discussed it. We've asked for it to happen. Commission and Man are looking at the whole area of promotion and advertising, in particular to children. And you have to address online influencers promoting the ultra-processed products that are very specifically targeted to the young person's palate and brain.
I'm somewhat fascinated that, that we're introducing legislation probably about 20 years too late when it comes to banning TV advertising, because I'd love to know the percentage of young people watching linear television that isn't sport.
Oh, I mean, exactly. And but there's brand management now at every sporting event. You know, the 0.0 in terms of alcohol has allowed Guinness and Heineken to freely promote and fly in the face of the intent and the moral and, if you like, responsibility that they have, that under corporate responsibility, they say we don't promote in any way, shape or form, but yet they will brand manage in a way that is effectively advertising and gets into people's heads.
Yeah, there is an advertising campaign running at the moment. I think Safe Food are running it, which is it features a child staring at foods in his eye line. And as far as I can make out, the thrust of it is, do you know what your child is looking at? Which really isn't as effective as perhaps removing it from the child's eye line, which is probably what we should be doing.
Well, you know, that's the goal. And if you look at the major supermarkets, they all committed when I was part of an obesity task force that Micheál Martin established in 2004. The supermarkets committed to sweet-free checkouts. And you see where that has gone. It hasn't, effectively.
But to be fair to some supermarkets, they have it. And then, and I'm singling out petrol stations here, petrol stations, you know who you are. They love putting the bigger bars of chocolate on special offer right next to the till.
Right next to the till, and they prompt the person behind the till to say, you know, are you interested? And people will say no, and they have the person trained at the till to say, are you sure it's a good offer? And they know that 30% of people with a second prompt will overcome that, no, I won't. Yeah. So it's all choreographed to drive a pattern of consumption that has one in four of our kids with overweight or obesity and is driving a chronic disease, tsunami that we're seeing every single day in the emergency department and on trolleys. And that's the reality. So when people say, oh, nanny state, you have to go, well, you know, it can't be one-way traffic.
Are we kind of the conversation? And look, anything is better than nothing. So we do start these ads and banning ads on TV and online before a certain time. Not sure how that would work the way the internet works. I mean, this is tinkering around the edges. How about we introduce bans on high sugar drinks that are readily available, that there's enough sugar in them to blow your head off? We're not talking about banning them or restricting them. We're talking about maybe stopping McDonald's from putting an ad for a Happy Meal on the 6-1 news.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we're kind of tinkering at the edges. Blunt instruments like, a ban is a blunt instrument. Tax is a blunt instrument. But the sugar sweetened drinks tax has had a massive impact on the content of the beverages that people are buying. A really effective.
But Donal, can I tell you
measure?
That what had a bigger influence on the people buying fizzy drinks was making them bring them back to a machine so they get their 15 cent back. That was a much more effective thing than anything they did about the sugar tax. I don't know how psychology can explain that, but there has been a drop in the number of fizzy drinks consumed as a result of having to bring the bottles and the cans back.
Okay, well, that's very positive.
even though it was an unintended consequence.
Yeah, that'll do. I like positive unintended consequences at a public health level. That'll do.
How do we have the conversation with the parent? Because obviously a lot of these kids don't. They'll see the advertising. They'll apply the peer pressure, and the parent will go out and they'll buy them. But how do we tackle the parents here, who are probably the worst offenders?
Parents are not the worst offenders. Parents, there is no parent who doesn't want their child to be healthy, and there is no parent really who doesn't make an effort for their child to be healthy. And that's the purpose of the Safe Food campaign, really. It's to highlight to parents that the environment that we've allowed develop is encouraging a ridiculous consumption of top shelf, high fat, high salt, high sugar foods. The companies spend 95% of their advertising bill on that ultra processed offering. So just making parents aware of that. And then how do parents deal with it? You know, they talk to their kids about it and say, guys, it is a tough environment out there. So do your best. And what can we do? Is there something we can change in our home? Because if you can, if it's not in the house, it won't be consumed. And that is the best place to start limiting it. And if you have an open discussion about the environment your kids are living in, then maybe your kids will be more aware and the change will come bottom up, because we have reached a point where there is industry goodwill. I mean, I was at a meeting yesterday with the FSAI, the Food Safety Authority, with the major pizza companies looking at reducing the salt content in each serving. That would have a massive impact at a public health level, and people wouldn't really notice the difference if it happens gradually.
Other countries are doing it as well, though, Donald. And I have a vague recollection of when I was in holidays in Portugal that I saw less advertising, and the way the supermarkets were configured was different to how we have it here. So there are countries that are doing it better than we are. Across the border in Spain, by the way, they're an absolute disaster. You couldn't see. It was more like being in Florida than it was in Europe.
When were you in Portugal? I'm really interested to hear that.
I think it was in the last 12 months anyway. I distinctly remember being in supermarkets going, they're very different to the Spanish.
Yeah, because Portugal are in the van of this kind of change, along with Slovenia. There would be two European countries that are trying to lead out on reconfiguring their supermarkets, getting the stuff away from the child's eye line in particular. And we have to look at how they do. And they're visiting Ireland early next year, so we can exchange kind of ideas on just how to do it, both in the prevention and critically in the treatment space.
Okay. Donald, we leave it there for now. Donald O'Shea, who is the HSE's lead for obesity and at St. Vincent's Hospital in Dublin. Thanks very much for...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Joining us.